Welcome to Criticalize Podcast, Leadership with New Horizons. My name is Mark Barber, Director of Content at Criticalize, and I'll be talking today to Matthew Blagg, Criticalize CEO, about some of the big issues for human resources directors, chief executives, and senior leaders in these unsettling and uncertain times. Hello, Matthew. How are you?
I'm incredibly well, Mark. I'm looking forward to spring.
Yeah, I think we all are, aren't we?
It's not quite sprung, but it's hopefully here soon.
It was chilly this morning, I will say. We've just had our HRD retreat, and I thought that would be a good starting point for us. So it's our first retreat of the year. Great to have a physical event and get everybody together. But I guess we'll talk about some of the themes to emerge from that. I guess as a starting point, what would be some of the sort of first impressions that you had of the retreat and things that stood out for you?
I think that the exciting bit is to see the energy that comes out of bringing everyone together. And I think that everyone there, you know, that 36 hours sort of taking away from the intensity of the cauldron, being able to share and benchmark. And there's so many people who said to me they haven't been able to properly benchmark over the last couple of years. And that ability to come together, reflect, build relationships. You know, again, so many people said that actually they haven't been able to establish, not that they haven't had access to people through it all, but actually that coming together, the reflection, and then that energy that it creates and insight. And it was just incredibly powerful. So, I mean, I think that is the exciting bit, the sort of that ability to come together again. And there was a lot of comments about actually how people were nervous.
Yeah.
To show you that there's, as well, there is a sort of rekindling or remuscling that I think is going on a global stage, hopefully basis, because obviously every market's in a different place. But that it reaffirms that there's a massive need. And there's a massive positivity there, but it is also a muscle that's got to be rebuilt. And it reaffirms the complexity. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, and the intensity, I think, has been ratcheted up over the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's interesting just looking at our different pieces of research that we produce. So across, what is it, CEOs, CFOs, HRDs, obviously, non-executive directors, number one area where they or want to improve is around seeking inspiration and fresh thinking from new areas. And that hunger's really there, isn't it, to sort of benchmark and get that external perspective.
I think it's powerful on all. I mean, I think that everyone recognises that they don't have all the answers. I think in some ways you've had to follow the scenario in the last 2 years. Now I think there is this transitioning element, and there remains a lot of ambiguity, but you can have those external reference points, the need to benchmark, the need to openly share in a more traditional way, balanced with obviously the speed of execution that we've been able to all benefit from in terms of the virtual environment. That combination piece is really getting exciting. And obviously we had a virtual world at the HRD retreat, so we had people dialing in from around the world. And that is the huge positive, you know, that combination of the huddle and immersive experience internally, whereas access to things virtually when you're on the run. And that's the paradigm we're now all in.
There was that interesting opening session, wasn't there, where we had a panelist from Asia, obviously joining virtually. And there's just real commonality around we need to get flatter structures, faster decision-making, need to get the culture right, the needs to drive high performance. And you could weave that through a lot of the sessions, couldn't you, in regards to where businesses were needing to focus?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the point. There obviously are variants and elements, and obviously Absolutely. We've had some more issues have emerged sort of or are emerging as we speak. But the element of COVID, to a certain extent, there is a more leveling field coming through, and there's a leveling field in terms of industry and area and size of business. So it feels a more common environment now where the complexity is more common, and there is a leveling out that's happening, which I think is exciting. I think we're beginning to get towards that, the excitement around sort of the opportunities that and embedding them, and that feels really, really the opportunity going forward.
So, I mean, we will look at the sort of geopolitical and socioeconomic landscape as well, and some of the concerns that are now on everyone's radar, you would say. I mean, when we were talking earlier, it's, I mean, from my perspective, I think there's an interesting pattern emerging where you had real uncertainty around customer behaviours, and I feel like companies have a better sense of their data points and behaviours, and they're more comfortable on that. I think where you're increasingly seeing real focus is on getting your operating model to fit your cost structure. So the price points, margins, budgets are getting blown away in some sense. So that has to be looked at closely. And then you've got the workforce. And again, this was looked at through different lenses across the 2 days at the HRD retreat. And there's a sense of in my mind, it's almost like a lockdown hangover. What are short-term behaviours that, okay, they will adjust and it will be like it was before. But what are some of those longer-term trends, and what does that mean for the culture of your organization? And there's a real difference, isn't there, in how companies are addressing that?
There's a real difference, and there isn't a right answer, and probably that's true. That's always been the case. Again, I mean, some of these elements are how they manifest is different, but there's massive variety about how you maximize things. I think what you're seeing, though, is that the complexity of the people agenda is far greater today than it would have been 3 years ago. The long-term trends are clear in terms of technology means you can do anything anywhere. And so that creates sort of huge positive opportunity. I think you've then got to blend that with the sort of being, you know, the element of being a part of something, and that culture piece is the really difficult sticking point. And then you've got to weave through that a huge amount of mental health issues, which I think that are pervasive and are, your term, the hangover, the element of the trauma after, or going through trauma, and I think is there. And I think everyone's working through that in a different way. And obviously on the backdrop of that, we've got some of the more traditional pressure points coming through in terms of, you know, in cost inflation and the supply chain issues, which is going to put pressure on margins, which also means probably pressure on the people agenda, which will be an interesting challenge for leaders and HR directors, how they get that progressive culture at the same time as tightening up performance metrics.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely saw, I thought that where organisations can automate, they are. They're looking to make processes more efficient, and they are seeking to invest in that. I think, like you say, purpose was constantly referred to. And then it's knitting that together, isn't it? So there was a good example of how remuneration and comp is being tied into ESG targets. And again, that's an increasing conversation, and again, it's trying to knit those two together. That was definitely a sort of a common theme to emerge, but also how complex that is as well.
Well, there was this, you know, we had a long session around organizational design as well, and obviously that element of the larger, more complex you are, how more difficult it is to, you know, get these things to line up, especially if, you know, you've got the purpose, but it's set up here. And then as it cascades down, and then there is this drive towards simplifying the business. And that's true. That simplification is needed from a sustainability perspective through to a financial performance objective and an investor. So to a certain extent, that there are the core themes are quite consistent around expectations. I think the element of getting it all lined up is not easy.
Which I think was going to bring me on to my next point, because it's where, and again, I think this is natural. There's nothing necessarily sinister here, because it is difficult. But there were a couple of polls that stood out for me during the day. So one was asking, is the agility and pace of decision-making demonstrated in your organization during the pandemic sustainable in 2022 and beyond? That was effectively split 50-50. 49% yes, 51% no. And I'll just come on to the second poll, because I think they interlink. And it's, are you beginning to see cracks appear in the resilience of leaders around you after such a turbulent period. And that was a resounding 77%. It's pace, isn't it? It's pace and then it's resilience.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that question about decision-making, it would be interesting to say, would you like to see it stay at that pace? Because it's, speedy decisions have got not necessarily a good thing, is it? I mean, so there's this interesting thing about, I think everyone buys into fast decisions if they're the right ones. It's if they're the wrong ones. And I think one of the things within that, I think it's the combination of the ability to make fast decisions and then row back from them that is really important. And that's where, if you take entrepreneurial businesses are so strong, because actually they're quick on decision making, but actually they don't mind failure. And fail fast, reposition. I think that's where large organizations have got this balancing act, because fail fast when you're big, structured organization where the shareholders are looking for certainty and dividend plays, it's quite difficult. And so you've got these contradictory points, and with the pressure points in terms of cost inflation, I think it can make you play safe on decision making. And I think understanding the complexity and how that decision rolls out in a different market, in a different jurisdiction, does, I think, naturally bring those decision makings back into a more complex one. But that's a really difficult balancing act.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And as you were talking there, I was just thinking about how, I mean, you are seeing M&A transactions fall over, aren't you? And if you think around the narrative that you build around M&A, for that to happen, that can be quite difficult to manage internally. And I guess that's an example, isn't it, of where you do have to.
Well, if you look across criticalized work in terms of the executives that we work, I think that you can certainly see there's more complexity now and more nuance to the work that we're doing, where it shifts very fast, where, you know, yes, there's a business, there's divestment, there's a leadership, but actually then it falls over and you've got to rekindle and align. And I think it's that speed of movement is, I think, incredibly brutal. And as such, the need for different reference points, the need for fast change, that element for intellectual agility in your leadership team, I think, is essential. I think that curiosity now and the ability to think further around corners, I think, becomes really important.
Yeah, and again, a point to emerge. And this should be true of any high-performing functional leadership. But it's debate, isn't it? It's having the debate. It's asking the difficult questions. But then also, as an executive, making sure you're able to have conversations, maybe with a mentor, maybe with a peer outside of your organization, to be able to really think things through and maybe talk about stuff that you can't necessarily do in your own organization.
Well, I think it's that sort of balancing of that trust piece where, you know, you need to have good challenge to have trust. But ultimately, you know, when your people are moving around more, it makes it more difficult to establish it. And I think that piece is really hard, and people's motivations are changing. You know, that element of what their expectations are is shifting. So it's a really interesting mix that I think comes through the people agenda. I think there was a really good debate around at the HRD retreat about the fact that the people agenda is owned by everyone. And again, making sure that is the role of the HR director to ensure that it's at the center of that purpose and it's not held within the function of HR.
Yeah, I agree. And you can say the employee voice has increased, hasn't it, during this time?
Well, there's no question. I think that the converse side to that is you can argue any CEO knows that they're under more pressure and they're more challenged than they ever were before. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, I think that you go into those roles and you expect it, and I think that your people are have a right to be able to push and challenge, and they can now. And I think that's great. And I think that mature and competent organizations thrive in that environment.
Yeah, I will come on to CEOs shortly. Just, there was another question. Well, actually, it was a word cloud that we put to attendees, and it was asking them to describe the energy levels within the organization. And so the size of the word increases, for those who don't know, according to the number of times a word is put into the chat function. And the two largest words were the energy levels were, the word was high, and then the other word of the same size was tired. That kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
Well, it was interesting when you saw that, and you saw both those words build, and then obviously around them there's that massive. So I think that's is that because when you unpick it, that you've got these varying scenarios with individuals who have had a relatively benign environment, have benefited from them, and so in that sense that they've refreshed, and then another where they've had a pretty brutal time.
It's sector dependent, isn't it? It's I think for some HRDs it has been brutal in terms of what, whereas others it's focusing on the growth agenda. There's an opportunity, the business is moving fast in a good direction.
Well, I think it's not just sector dependent, Mark. There was a very honest, open discussion, as you know, where we were discussing sort of care homes at the HRD retreat, and one of the questions from someone who, you know, their mother had gone into a care home. Now that is a small example of the people elements that have been going on globally over the last 2 years. So I think if you look at it, that energy level is as much about their personal situation as it is about the organizational situation that they've been through. Now there's degrees of both, but I think that that element of everyone having gone through life-changing is maybe too strong a word, but a huge amount of change that was thrust upon them, I think does cause some interesting outcomes and leaves everyone slightly with some interesting mindsets about things. And you're seeing that come to the surface now in all walks of life.
Yeah, I got that from some of our speakers who were joining virtually. So, you know, for instance, if, you know, remote working, and we've touched on this before, but if you're based in Singapore or Hong Kong, that might be a very difficult situation working from home. And then so the sensitivity you need to show as a HRD to that is different. So again, it's all the different permutations, isn't it? And how it plays out at different speeds and in different geographies. Okay. I suppose, and I wanted to move on to some questions around CEOs, but I did get a sense that the HRDs are very much in the thick of it. It's operational, but it's also strategic. They're key players, aren't they, in how businesses are now evolving and moving on.
I think that it was a really good sort of, again, that the HRD discussion around the relationship between the CFO and the HR director.
Yes.
And that alignment between people and our numbers is just essential. And I think that the positive is there is more clarity about the need for them to be fully aligned. And it can, I think that there's always been an awareness, but it's more visible today than it ever has been. So I think that bit's absolutely essential. I think, though, that so much does come down to the relationship between the HR director and the CEO. And I think that you also, that's the point that also resonated with some of the side conversations I had around the complexity in there between the dynamics of the chairman, the CEO and the CFO, and then where does the HR director or CPO sit within that? And I think that is so key to being able to be successful. And if you're not in the right place with that, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, I do remember from a previous HRD retreat, there was a good description of like a strong strategic HRD will be basically keeping and understanding the rhythm of the business.
Yeah,
it's the tempo and the rhythm. And again, I think that's really been shown. I mean, on that CEO question, I mean, are you seeing CEOs coming under more pressure in this environment? Because I was taking a look at some of our NED research that's come out this week, and over 30% of chairs and NEDs are expecting to replace the CEO over the next 12 to 18 months. Why do you think that we're at that point? What do you think is driving that?
Well, I think that, yes, I do think CEO is under more pressure. I think tenure is probably reducing down. I think there's lots of reasons for that. I think boards are changing faster. If you look at rotation on boards, I think there's a lot of change coming through, which I think is a good thing, and that creates different optics. I think that you've got CEOs who are situational. There's a degree of change. I think there's a number of CEOs who, looking at it and feel that it's time to step out. I think that, so you've got that natural change. It's a great time to go plural, and you're seeing a lot of people make life choices that are different to the ones before. I think conversely, we've got more technology embedded in the business models than ever before. So the skill sets that you're looking for as a board probably shift a little bit. And then you've obviously got the performance elements where you've got, for whatever reason, CEOs who might have been seen to have survived, but ultimately, are they thriving? And so the refreshment element, it's much easier to think I'll put someone new into the role to re-energize. So I think I don't think there's one element that comes through, but there's certainly more pressure on CEOs today than there would have been 3 years ago. I think that the inflationary pressure makes it, there's more scrutiny, and obviously the geopolitical stuff will only accelerate that. So yeah, it's a number of different things, but it is certainly an environment where the succession piece is very visible in the boards that we're working with and the executives we're working with. And the skill shift, I think, is more visible in all.
It's interesting you say that, because I'm not sure you've had a chance to look at these. So this isn't pre-planned, but 41% say they expect it to be an internal appointment, right, which is up from 21% on last year, which does back this up, doesn't it? That they are looking at succession, they are looking within the organisation. I mean, that's positive, isn't it? So they're thinking longer term about the pipeline of talent within.
Well, as you know, Mark, we're a massive believer in that internal succession should be key, and I think that should be through the organisation. What is it? What's the message through the organisation if everyone thinks that the top role will be found elsewhere? I mean, so that is exciting. I think that there is a need. I think you are also recognising that you've got to invest talent underneath the ExCo, because you've got to have stronger bench strength. I think that you are seeing faster movement of people. And so that need to invest and develop people is more visible today in the boardroom than it ever has been.
It's that support, isn't it? And again, this, to tie it into the HRD retreat, when we talked about talent, that absolutely was the theme to emerge, wasn't it? It's okay, if you're thinking long-term about your organisation, How are you looking at the leaders? How are you identifying them? How are you thinking about the diversity, the mix that you need? It does feel like that message is starting to land more.
Well, I think that it's ascension. I think everyone knows that it takes time to build leaders.
Yeah.
And so, you have to prepare. And I think that that need to continually refresh, and I think it's one of the areas that the board is very focused on. And I think that there is push on CEOs to make sure that they really are empowering people to come through, be given wider responsibilities, to change things around a bit. And I think that's hugely positive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's absolutely with the work that we do, an area that we focus on. Okay, we touched on it at the start, and we've mentioned it a couple of times, the wider economic landscape. I mean, obviously, there's the situation in Ukraine, which is terribly sad and concerning. But in terms of that sort of wider geopolitical and socioeconomic landscape, it's going to force companies, isn't it, to sort of look more tightly at their cost base and how they're planning for the future and where they're looking to invest. Are you seeing that happen already?
Well, I think there's a number of things to point out here. And at the end of the day, if you take the HRD retreat, started on the day that Russia invaded Ukraine, and that was, so it was just evolving. It's too early to say what the implications will be, and I won't speculate on all of that. What you can state is that there were three core issues at the beginning of the year that were going to play out. One was the COVID element, the displacement of that, which was significant, which in any year would be a lot to cope with anyway. Secondly, the supply chain components were still in a mess, and that would be a difficult thing to cope with in any environment. And then the third thing is the inflationary pressures, which then were rolling into interest rate increases in most markets other than China. Well, those were there before, and they're now probably heightened. So that does mean that the economic landscape will be choppier. You'll see, if you're on the markets, much more variance in terms of pricing. You'll see more risk associated with refinancing. We know several private equity deals have fallen over recently, which are linked to those things. Now, again, I'm not going to have a crystal ball, but I think as such, what was already going to be a tightening environment will be that trend will probably continue. And so within that, there's huge opportunity, because obviously that every change creates different opportunities. It means that, again, the reinforcement of simplification of your business will only be even more focused. I think that the element of alignment through your organization is going to be more important, and the sense of purpose and being a part of something will be key. And so I think that the people agenda will be absolutely essential. So within that, I think it just reiterates the need for world-class leadership.
Okay. Any final thoughts, Matthew? I'll wrap it up there, conscious of time. But
I think that the point, which again, you know, to reiterate from the HRD session last week, is that need for leaders to recognize their role in creating the future. And that's the exciting bit. That positive energy of empowerment is the bit that I think is really exciting for leaders over the next 12 months. And that's the bit that I think we've all got to focus on, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose just the other thing, like that, as you were talking, it's also, just to come back to that point we made at the start, it's you can see that there's a real hunger for leaders to put their heads up, look out, connect, meet with others, get new ideas, get inspiration. Obviously, it's always been there, but I think it is increasingly important, isn't it? And you really are seeing that.
Well, I think there's a danger when you go up through the organization that you become more and more narrow in your mindset. And I think that's something that we should all challenge ourselves on. Curiosity is key. And the great leaders and leadership teams have curiosity embedded in them. And curiosity means they get access to all sorts of varying places. And I think that's going to be really, I think you'll see the difference more and more acutely in organizations that have that to organizations where they have very dogmatic approaches. I think that they'll struggle.
I mean, I've heard a lot about the dangers of groupthink. And I think because you're more vulnerable and at risk as a business now with that, aren't you? So you do have to have those different perspectives and that diversity of thought.
Well, I also think that you've got to be able to be fluid in how you approach things. I mean, in terms of, it is a very fluid environment. So you can't, I think executives who look for exact scenarios, I think will find the ambiguity that we're in more difficult. And I think that ambiguity and the nuance is going to be very key for us all to be successful over the next few years.
Okay. I will wrap it up there. I think I did overrun. But no, thank you, Matthew. Thank you to all of you for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. And please catch us for our next podcast on Leadership with New Horizons. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.